Blog Talk Radio.
It's time, y'all. Once again, it's time to raise up your voice, time to be entertained, time to be enlightened and learn more about what you already know. It's showtime, y'all. For those that don't know, this is the show designed for all of us to get an outside perspective on the inside of someone else's life. BlogTalkRadio.com/how was your weekend? We spell was with a Z. Hello and welcome tonight, everybody. I'd like to welcome my audience, those who have heard me before. If you haven't heard, my name is Andy Brown, and I live vicariously through you each and every week, broadcasting live out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I want to say thank you to my listeners, thank you to my bloggers, and thank you for everyone who has been a part of this show and made it what it is. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I just want to appreciate all of you tonight. For the past few weeks, this show has been fantastic. We have talked about relationships. We have talked about family. We have talked about all kinds of social issues. And it's because that's what's on our minds. That's what's on our heart. We do this every Wednesday, 8 o'clock p.m. Central. And tonight is going to be like none other. It's Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of May. And no, it is not actually the Mexican Independence Day. That is actually September the 16th. We have really been ignorant to the facts, but we didn't just kind of stay in tune to what's going on. Cinco de Mayo was actually a celebration of the Mexican heritage and pride. It actually commemorates the Mexican Army's victory over the French of the Battle of Pueblo back in May 5th of 1862. A little history for you, a little history lesson to drop on you. I want to say good evening to all of you all listening. Good evening to my callers who are calling in. And a special good evening to my son, Christian, who did very well on his 11-plus exam on yesterday. Daddy's very proud of you, young man. Keep your head up. You keep me smiling, and you keep me encouraged as well. Well, when we talk about being ignorant to the fact of Cinco de Mayo, I mean, ignorance is pretty much a cause of what's being going out there. We have just not been educated in the fact of what's going on in the news. Some of us choose to ignore it because it may not pertain to us. Some of us just may feel like different things for different strokes, and that's really not fair in this society, ladies and gentlemen. We're just going to be talking and blogging, and some may just not even care about what's going on, but that's all right, because as a race, as a people, it does affect things that are going on. Today's topic is we're going to be talking about the immigration law that's going on in Arizona. So we're going to tend to kind of step away from the relationship issues and keep it full circle, keep it real tonight. There's a lot of serious things going on, and we need to address that and see how that's really going to affect us. Here in 2010, you know, race relations are still a big part of the American culture. And we're going to be talking, ladies and gentlemen, about recent issues that the immigration law in Arizona has really laid down. As many of you really may know or may not know, this has kind of been something that's been on my mind and been on my spirit lately. The state of Arizona recently passed a law that gives police the right and the power to question anyone they suspect that is in this country illegally. If they don't have required documents to show verification of who they are, they can be arrested. Is that fair? Is that racial profiling? We're going to have people chime in tonight. All races, all creeds, all colors. The forum is open. The blog room is open. I'm going to tell you to go ahead and program this number in your BlackBerries, in your phone. 646-727-3279 is the number to call in tonight and tell us how you feel about it. 646-727-3279. You can check us out also at blogtalkradio.com/how was your weekend. Was is with a Z. Let's go ahead and get the party started, y'all, and open up the phone lines. I'm here in Dallas, Texas, Fort Worth, but our callers call from all over the place. Let's go ahead and keep the phone lines open to California IA, where we have a guest calling in. Rico, are you there?
I'm here.
Talk to me, man. Talk to everybody. What's going on?
Man, as we go through our life today, man, we take advantage of a lot of things that we have. Freedom.
Right.
As a black culture, we have came a long way and them seeing a lot of things that was done to our race alone. And for us to be ignorant to the fact of what's going on and not to be supportive of our Latinos and our Latino brothers and sisters that are in Arizona and around the world, it's almost a slap into our face, because that could have easily been us.
Right.
That could have easily been us. And don't get me wrong, they're going to have some other people besides the Latino race that they're going to be profiling, but that law is unconstitutional. I have a lot of friends that are from the Latin descent, and they could be traveling through there. And like you say, Andy, we don't know, because we try to avoid the bad news in the news. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to listen to that. We don't want to hear the bad stuff. And they just could be rolling through Arizona and not know about this law and get caught up. But they are a U.S. citizen.
Right.
It's sad. It's sad to hear that we've come to that point in our nation history where we're profiling and we're segregating people on their color of their skin. If you think back, Andy, at one point there was a law where we couldn't enter the front door of a restaurant or a public place. We had to go through the back door. That's what I feel that law in Arizona did. Set us back to then, you know?
I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. I know our bloggers are going to be listening in. The blog room is open. Feel free to chime in. I know that phone is going to be ringing. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear your opinion tonight. Do you think it's fair? Do you think it's necessary? Rico, stay on the line and kind of hang out with us for a little bit. We're going to open the phone line to one of our callers. I'm here in Dallas. Rico's in California. We have someone in Houston. Caller, your phone number ends in 1278. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, this is me, Sean Pavano, the Wonder Woman of online radio. What's good?
How you doing, Sean?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Sean, say hello to Rico.
Oh, hey, Rico. What's going on?
How you doing, Jerry?
Sean, we're talking about the Arizona immigration law and how it's affecting not only Arizona, but the rest of the United States and our culture and society. How do you feel about that? Do you know what's going on out there?
Yeah, I do. I've been following the news and the media about the whole situation in Arizona. First off, let me say that, for one, it is definitely not fair, and it's definitely a tragedy, and I do believe that it sets the country back 100 years. It really does. However, I feel that it's not just a racism issue. I don't think it's just a black issue, but I feel like it's a classism issue. And when I speak of classism, I'm talking about someone that is in a different tax bracket than the ruling class. And if you understand what I'm saying, then you get what I'm saying. But I think that, you know, one thing I would hate to say, I don't want this to turn into a black thing, because if you look into history, African Americans weren't the only race of people that have had some type of injustice. We were talking about, you know, Japanese Americans experienced something, Korean Americans experienced something, even Irish Americans have experienced something. And I think that Anglo-Saxons in the state of Arizona should be extremely outraged, especially if they are in a poorer class, because they also fall into this bracket. And if you look back in history, you would see, especially Irish Americans, they went through some of the similar things that African Americans went through during the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. It isn't as excruciating as what we've experienced, especially for slavery, because that is something that was across the board, worldwide, the most inhumane thing that has ever been committed as a crime that has never been paid for. However, this issue here, from what I'm reading and from what I'm researching, is more so about classism. It's definitely racial profiling. I just pray that, you know, the masses won't look at this as a black thing, because it's not a black thing. It's an injustice thing that's facing the entire planet, facing the race. Because if you're looking at Arizona, then who's next? Texas, who's next? California, who's next? Louisiana, I mean, what's next? This is crazy. Do people do that in the UK? No. This, you know, the stuff that's being pulled here in the United States of America, I would say within the last year and a half, because our president is apparently a man of color, it's just that it seems like most political parties, I don't want to single out one in particular, are using their power to try to annihilate a certain type of people. I don't think it's about black. I don't really think it's about white. I think it's about classism. I think if our president came from a ruling class of people that pretty much had, you know, millions and trillions of dollars and had oil, had their hand in oil, then maybe the state would be different and have a different outlook. But I think that at this point, it's definitely something that people need to come together on and not segregate themselves and saying, oh, this is injustice on just blacks only, because it's not.
You know, Sean has some very strong views, ladies and gentlemen, and she's smacking it right on the head tonight. I need to hear from my Latino family out there. If you're out there and you know what's going on, tell us how you feel about this, because right now you're on the clock. As a culture, black Americans have been there. Like Sean said, Irish Americans have been there. Racial profiling is going to be what it is, but right now it just seems that the Latino, Mexican, and Hispanic family are right on the clock. Do you think it's fair? Do you think it's necessary? Talk to me. blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend. We spell was with the Z over here, ladies and gentlemen. And that call-in number is 646-727-3279. Again, 646-727-3279. Rico, talk to me a little bit. Do you have any Mexican Latino family out there with you in California that can chime in?
Yes, sir. I have a friend here by the name of Fernando Prada. He's actually a Mexican-American, born and raised, but his parents are from Mexico. They first generation, and he's outraged, bro. And I'm going to let you talk to him and let him chime in on this.
Do it.
Hey, how are you?
Fernando, what's going on, man? How's it going?
Nothing much, man. Here, just listening to you guys talk. And my point of view is it's pretty straightforward. I think it's one of the most unfair issues that I've heard. I come from a Mexican family. My parents came here illegally, but they are both U.S. citizens. And the 9 times out of 10, I do not have my ID with me.
Wow.
I either leave it in the car, it's at work. But I feel that it's wrong for officers to have that right to just pick anybody out of the street and just arrest them for no apparent reason. I do feel that immigration is an issue, but it's not just with the Mexican public or Hispanic public. I think it's an immigration. It's a problem with every race, and I just feel that it's wrong that they're pretty much taking us out of the circle and pointing the finger on us. I just feel it's wrong. I feel that if my dad was walking down the street, my dad is a chef at the Four Seasons,
okay,
here in Beverly Hills, and my dad could barely speak English. So you're gonna tell me that if he doesn't have his ID, but he is a U.S. citizen, you're gonna arrest him? My dad actually last week cooked breakfast for the president.
Wow.
So are you going to arrest him for not having his ID? I'm a federal employee. Are you going to arrest me for not carrying my ID with me on a daily basis if I have to run down to the street to buy my mom something from the grocery store? It's just very unfair to us when I feel that an immigration is a problem with all cultures.
You know, he's got a point, ladies and gentlemen. Fernando's speaking. He's speaking tonight. Everybody, we're talking. We're being honest in here. 646-727-3279. Stick around and hang out for a little bit. We're going to have some more callers chime in, and they may want to talk to you a little bit about that. We have callers calling from Michigan. I know Gavin is on the line. Gavin, are you there?
Yeah, hey, how you doing, brother?
We're good, man. How are you?
I'm okay. I just want to touch on a few things, and I think that, you know, I just want to just quantify this by saying that I respect everybody's opinion and their feelings on the situation, because it's a hot button topic. But you got to realize this is not a race issue. This is not, you know, we're going to objectify, or we're going to focus on this group of people. It's not about Latin Americans. It's not really even about, you know, racial profiling that occurs, you know, every day in America for blacks. This is about, you know, one, power and money. That's simply it, power and money. You have certain groups that are trying to use this immigration issue to push their status. They're trying to build numbers. You know, I mean, anybody, it's the law. You have to have ID. That's part of the way we operate here in this country. You have to have the ID. You have to be able to say who you are at any given time. This is not about being a police state. It's just the law, you know. I think certain groups, and I think that a lot of people, when they think immigration, they just automatically toss the whole label on Latinos, and that, you know, it's hordes and hordes of illegal aliens want to come over here and from Mexico or wherever and just take jobs. It's not what this is about. You know, you have, it's a number of different, like I said before, it's a number of different issues at hand. We're talking about national security, we're talking about political influence, and we're talking about economics. And those are the three things that we just got to keep clear. You know, one, you know, if you go into Mexico right now, you know, there are signs that say Spanish is the language of Mexico. You need to be able to speak that language. You know, if you're coming here, you commit a crime, you're gonna go to prison in that country. All right. So, you know, I think that a lot of people are missing the point on what this reform bill is going to do. What this reform bill is going to do is going to help us as Americans. You know, whether you're Latino, whether you're Polish, whether you're from the Ukraine or Armenia. You know, defend ourselves, to keep people out of this country that do not belong here. All right, so I'm going to yield for a second, and I'm going to let somebody kind of chime in.
Gavin.
Yeah.
Gavin.
Yes. Who am I speaking to?
This is Rico from California.
How you doing?
I'm good, sir. I feel everything you're saying, but you see, the last part you said, you're trying to keep people out of this country. I'm all for that. They're not supposed to be here. They're not supposed to be here. I'm all for that. But this country was founded on immigrants. It's been immigrants that built this country. People that are in this country, call this country home, are immigrants. The only people that have the right to say this is home is the Native American and the Latin American. Because contrary to what people think, California was taken from Mexico. Arizona was taken from Mexico. So I have a problem when people talk about this is the immigration thing. We're all immigrants in a country that wasn't ours. This was the Indian land.
Right. Can I chime in here? I'm not going to try to stop. I want you to continue, but I just want to make one thing. We're a nation of laws. And the first,
yes, we are.
Your first act here in this country cannot be to violate the rule of law. All right. Now,
yes.
if you say, you know, you can come here anytime you want, just violate our borders. One, it gives us no control. Two, I mean, we can start throwing each and every one of the other laws that come along with that right out the window. You know. I'm gonna tell you something. I understand your dad, your parents came from Mexico. My mother came from Georgetown, Guyana, all right? And when she came here in 1966. When she got here, you know, she had to apply for a visa. All right? She came here and met and married my father. It took her 9 years past being marrying my father, who was a citizen who fought in the Vietnam era, who served for 25 years in the United States Army. You know, it took her 9 years to become a citizen. It's the process. And it's the process. And it's those processes that keep our country healthy. It keeps it moving along. Granted, our immigration policy and our immigration processes are not the best, but it's all we got. We got to work the process. You know, if she can come here, and I remember having to go back with her whenever they said, "Oh, you got to go back to your home country until you get this squared away." Hey, you know, I was a boy, and I remember, you know, my mother had to take us all back to Guyana with her. All right, we're not talking about this. It's not just Mexicans. It's just not people from Nicaragua. It's not just people from Panama. It's people everywhere. I mean, I believe in immigration reform. Their policy needs to be reformed. That's what we're talking about. But opening our borders is not going to help this country. In fact, it's going to hurt.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, this is what and it kind of builds. If you just open your borders, that's why we now have health care. You know, which I think is a huge bust. But it's one of those things that is piggybacking off of immigration. The reason the state of California is failing financially right now is because of undocumented people, right? Having to support these people that really don't add that much to the tax base. So I'm sorry, Rico. Go ahead.
I don't want you to misunderstand. I totally agree. We have to have secured borders. Period. Now, with that said, what are we going to do with the 7 million people or 13 million people that we got right now? What are we going to do with that problem? How do we fix that problem?
You know,
I
do not claim to be an expert, but I can say, you know, if my mother had to go back to that country, her home country, until she fixed her paperwork or the process work, why can't they?
So you want 13 million?
No. Why can't they go home and fix it? I'm gonna tell you, last week or a week and a half ago, I had a relative that was just sent back to his country, to where he's from.
Uh-huh.
One of my dad's relatives. He got sent back to Panama. All right. So it's not
right.
It's not a black, it's not a white, it's not a, you know, Latino issue. We're talking about, you know, at the end of the day, you know, power, you know, influence, money, you know, it's a lot of different things at work here. But I'm not mad at the state of Arizona. I think they're doing the right thing. I think a lot of people kind of missing it. They actually revised the law. So I think it was a week ago, Thursday or Friday, they went back and actually revised that. So, I mean, it's not all just about profiling. Anybody at any time can be asked by any officer to give up some ID. And, you know,
hold on, Gavin. On that statement, right there alone, at what point do it become harassment? Abuse of power.
He's got a good point, ladies and gentlemen. Call in. Somebody answer that question for Rico. What point does it become harassment? 646-727-3279, the blog room. That question is open to you, too. blogtalkradio.com/ how was your weekend? Sean, are you there? Maybe Sean has jumped off. Gavin, can you answer that question for us?
Could you repeat that question? I'm sorry. At what point does it become become too much? I'm not gonna sit here and say that I've never been harassed by police. I'm never, my existence in this country has been that of a black man. So, I've had a lot of the same experiences. Our Latino brothers have had, and our black brothers, and I know when somebody's trying to pull it. When they're trying to harass me, or when if I feel that they're just doing this because I'm the only black man in the area and they saw me driving, I carry myself accordingly. If I get pulled over or somebody's asking me for my ID, I'm gonna ask why. Why are you pulling me over, or why are you stopping me to ask me for my ID? Well, I didn't see you ask anybody else. I'll ask for a supervisor. I'm not afraid of them. So that's our right to do that. And this kind of goes back, like, if you're vested in the process, if you're a citizen, if you're here, at least on a visa, you have every right to question, why certain things are happening. Now, I'm not trying to, I'm all about human rights. I want everybody to know that. I want everybody to have certain human rights. But, I believe that we need to change our immigration policy to one that where you have to earn your citizenship. I think that just coming over here and giving birth to your baby, or getting in some convoluted marriage of convenience is just old. And a lot of countries are doing away with, you have a baby here, and then your child is a citizen, so you get to stay. In Canada, they send you back home and tell you to bring your kid back in 18 years. There's nothing the matter with that. I think that you need to really earn your citizenship. I think the Pledge of Allegiance should be mandatory. I think that you should have to take a citizenship test. I'm not too far away from mandatory military service for all. If you really want to be here bad enough, earn it.
But there it is, Gavin. That's a good one right there. Military service. So a person here illegally, but he can join your military?
No.
No, here in the United States, that's you go in the military and get your citizenship.
To one of the bloggers. One of the bloggers had made note to answer one of Rico's questions about harassment. If the officer cannot articulate a reasonable suspicion for the arrest, then it's harassment.
Right.
Good one, Andy.
That's our blog room. They're open. They're on it tonight. We appreciate you in the blog. Now, coming back to what you said earlier about with the military, let me ask you this. If you are illegal immigrant here in this country, no passport, new ID, and you get arrested, and you are deported in jail, however the case, whatever the consequent may be, does that constitute as being harassed if you're not a U.S. citizen?
No. No, I don't believe so. I think that if that official had any reasonable cause to stop you, and you can't produce the necessary paperwork that says that you belong here, then
what's a reasonable cause?
I'm not in law enforcement. I work in public health.
I understand, Gavin, but it's so. When I ask that question, because that answer to that question is a broad answer. So you leave the officer open to whatever that officer deemed as a reasonable cause. His eye was black. That means he was in a fight. So I just wanted to make sure everything was okay and run his ID and make sure he hadn't committed no crime. How you know that person didn't fall? You going off of a black eye?
You have a point. You know, with anything, they're always extenuating circumstances.
It is. You're right. There it is.
You know, but I stand to the, by my point that, you know, there has to be, to have all the freedoms we have, you have to give up a little something. You know, you got to say, well, you know, there's a reason for all this. They just turned the plane around the other day, you know, with the terror suspect on it, and it wasn't like you know, they just identified every Arab American on that plane or anybody of Arab descent on that plane. They knew what they were looking for. They knew who they were looking for, you know. I travel extensively, and I can tell you, most times, you know, police are not just pulling people over. They're not just bothering people or black people because I'll speak for my own. They're not just bothering me just because I'm black and just happen to be walking by. You know, I've been in black communities and got pulled over by black cops. And what does that say?
Right.
It's not, I mean, it's nothing. It's still the police pulling me over or stopping me. So, you know,
and I totally respect that, Gavin. But my thing is, I am in law enforcement, and I do dislike some of the laws that we do have to enforce. But I also enforce them. You know what I'm saying? But some of them have their bias. Some of them do. Let's just say, in the Arizona case, you have the union of some of the police officers filing suit over the law.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Well, I think we're getting down into enforcement, you know, because now you're telling the police at this point you need to enforce these things. Now, the average cop, like most of us, feels overworked, underpaid. You know, now this is another set of things we got to look for. And I'm going to tell you, there are going to be lobbying groups within the police and police brother, the Fraternal Order of Police, that are lobbying not to have to do this. Why? Because they may represent certain groups. You know?
Right.
So, I mean, right. If you, you know, and whatever those groups may be, I'm not going to just identify them, you know, but, you know, you can just imagine which groups those may be. You know, anybody with an interest in seeing, you know, more people of their descent here. I really believe it's an issue of power. It's power
now,
and it's money.
This, let me ask both of you gentlemen this question, and I'll bring this to the table also to the blog. How likely, just based on what we've been talking about, how likely do you think that this law in Arizona will lead to police officers, you know, detaining people of certain racial and ethnic groups nationwide, not just Arizona? Do you think it's something?
I don't think it's going to increase the number of people. I don't think it's just going to bring a spotlight on certain groups. You know, I think that the way it is anybody is subject. You know, it's not like, well, we're looking for a brown-skinned man with dark hair who looks like he could be from Guatemala. You know, it can be anybody. It could be a tall, blonde Polish guy. You know, it could be somebody, you know, dark-haired guy from Armenia. I mean, it could be really anybody. So, I think, you know, in the best interest of the law, people are good. I mean, it's the police are going to have, they just can't just juror in on one group or another.
I actually agree with that, Andy. I actually agree with that. I don't think it's gonna take effect nationwide like most people think it is. I think it's going to be centralized in Arizona, and I think you're going to hear some stories come out of Arizona that probably going to take you back, you know? And I agree with Gavin, though. I think it's just going to be what it is in Arizona, and I don't think it's going to trickle down to another state.
Okay. Very good. Our bloggers, you can also chime in on that question, blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend. Others, if you want to call in, that magic number, 646-727-3279. We're talking about the immigration law in Arizona and how it's affecting our culture and our society. As black Americans, Negroes, however you want to classify us as a race, our generation, our grandfathers and some of our aunts and uncles have gone through the civil rights movement where they were profiled on the color of their skin and on the content of their character, being judged, being labeled. But they were legal residents here in the States. Those who are not illegal, and I think that's, or those who are not legal, rather, are kind of getting a taste of what it felt like for our ancestors, so to speak. I don't want to say ancestors, because we're not going that far back, but some of our relatives who went through different things like that. So it's kind of like bringing it back to surface, and sometimes people can see that, how they're actually being treated and what's going on in today's news, but it kind of gets overshadowed and overplayed as if it's not that big of a deal. So let's talk about that. I mean, is this something that is really a big deal, or is it just kind of something that, you know, has really gone too far? Do you think this is really the right thing to do, being that they're not U.S. citizens, being that they are illegal? I mean, their pay, when they come to work here, you know, they can pretty much pay them nothing.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I think that the American economy has carved out a niche for these undocumented workers. They made them part of our economy, you know, where they don't have to pay them, you know, a certain wage because they're not citizens. One, it actually hurts that group of people. It hurts that employee because now he doesn't have the right to contest that, you know. And you're actually taking a – I don't believe you're taking a job, but I think you make it harder for citizens to actually argue and to argue for – a living wage, because you know you have this group of people who are just continuously take less money, you know, and I mean it really kind of just worked to their advantage, you know, to go through the process to become a citizen to be able to demand, you know, a higher wage. I think it really hurts them in the long run.
Can you take on that, Reek?
I'm still with you. I was listening to Kevin Cole. We have a society where you can come over here illegally and work illegally. Is that not true, Gavin?
Oh yeah, I mean we've made it part of our national economy. If you go down to southern Texas, you know, just say Brownsville, you know, where people can just walk across the border at will. You know, I think that if they can work here and just take their money back home, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't I? You know,
Wouldn't you agree that we are part of the problem then?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. But that's where we need to not just enforce law on these unfortunate people that happen to get caught in the raids, but enforce it on big business. You know, make them, you know, hold them accountable. You know,
we have to hold individuals.
The issue isn't about, like, when people say, immigrants take jobs away from Americans. They really don't. It's the business that are taking
I agree.
Jobs.
I agree.
From the man.
Sean, are you still there?
I just got back some kind of way when I was trying. I got kicked off and I was trying to call in. It wouldn't let me back in. So, but I'm back. I'm good. I'm back.
Good to hear from you.
I was kind of trying to catch what you guys were talking about, but are we speaking about immigrants taking jobs? Is that the issue?
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Honestly, in my opinion, I feel honestly that we're all immigrants in some way, form, or fashion, whether if we really want to investigate the bloodline of everyone, you know,
thank
especially
you.
When we're talking
thank
about millennials and we're speaking of people, you know, if we go back a couple of, you know, hundreds of years, we can even say that I don't want to say, I don't like to say white people, but, you know, forgive me, but white people were here. We were just as immigrants as everyone else. This country was founded on other countries coming here and settling and building their wealth, so to say, but I think that's, you know, a little ignorant to say that, oh, immigrants are taking jobs. However, I just think that there's a lot of people here that have been here in America for so long and have been brainwashed to think that, oh, education is the key. Let me become educated so I can become a white-collar worker, and there is a more of a demand in the blue-collar fields, and therefore these people come over here seeking opportunity, and like anyone else, they find opportunity. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know anybody. I don't care what color they are that want to dig a ditch right about now. But I know someone that may come from another country that they have no resources, and they look at it as a way to support their family, keep food on their table, and give them an opportunity to get to the white-collar dream, maybe for their children or their children's children. And I don't see anything wrong with that. I think it's extremely ignorant when people try to place stigmatism. Well, I don't want to say stigmatism because that's not even the right situation, but try to place a title or say that something's being stolen when, in fact, it's a job. And if someone needs to do it, I feel that people should advocate that they are paid the same ways that most Americans are. I think that it's unfair that when they do jobs, they're getting paid 75% to 85% lower than the average American, which I think is extremely ignorant, it's dangerous, and it's demoralizing. And they're human beings. It's a new form of slavery.
I'm going to throw a flag on the play. I disagree, Sean. You know,
okay.
You know, and I disagree because one, and I say this every time I talk to somebody about this, it's not about keeping anybody out. But it's about the first act of coming here can't be to violate the law. It can't be. That means like if we don't throw out that law, we're going to say...
Well, I have a question. What
know,
do you mean violate?
We're going to say breaking and entering is legal, or personal is legal.
Hold on. I'm lost. Are we speaking about immigrants taking jobs?
No. You said that, you know, that this country was built by immigrants. Yes, it was. But...
Yes.
But we got to remember, we're a sovereign country. We have laws, we have borders, we have our own process. And I'm not advocating to make this just America only for Americans. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if we're going to have people, if people are going to come here, they have to go through the process. You know, my mother went through the process.
Well,
my grandparents went through the process. You know,
well, I don't believe it, and I'm going to tell you why, because I feel that the process was created for man's convenience, and as long as a person is a human being and they are able-bodied individuals, they should be treated equally and fairly, and if there's a job to be done, then they can do it. Now, when it comes down to crime prevention, I think that should be done in a moral way. If someone that has done a crime and they are in a certain territory, they must follow the laws of that land. Just like if we were to go to another country and commit a crime, we would be tried as an individual and as a citizen of that country. I don't agree with anybody racially profiling someone because of where they come from or what they look like or what they appear to look to be given a job or a title of that nature. If this is what we're, if we're speaking about employment now, we're speaking about crime, that's another topic.
What you're saying, Sean, is America has to be everything to everybody. And right now,
no, I'm not saying.
But the,
I'm
the
not
way
saying
the
it.
Way the world. No, well,
not
yeah, that's what I'm getting from what you're saying. You're insinuating that America has to be everything to everybody, and that these people that really have no right to be here because they didn't go through the process to come here legally, have just can come here and just they deserve to work. No, that's not how it works.
I think it doesn't work like that in any other country. I feel that everyone, I just said that everyone should follow the laws of the land. If the laws are being broken, then they need to be treated as, you know, what the law says. With every law, there's a repercussion in place if it's not followed. However, I don't think it should be an issue of somebody coming over here to work. What if they did go through the process? Do you know how many people have international discrimination cases? I mean, just because of the fact that they come over, they follow all the legal steps to get visas and student visas to matriculate in to schools and work, and yet they're still discriminated upon. Is that right?
You know what?
Wow.
You know, I could tell you right now, I could solve the whole wanting to come here and work issue. I could tell you right
though.
Now. If we could set up an enterprise zone right there, if we're just talking about the American border with Mexico, let's just talk about it. You could set up an enterprise zone right there where people can come and work in a factory or it could work in any business in that area. And I believe that they should, at the end of that day, they can go back home.
We have another caller that wants to chime in. Another caller from Texas. And your phone number ends in 0627. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Talk to us. Talk to me. Who is this?
This is Felisa Francois.
Hey, Felisa. How you doing?
Hi, Andy. I'm fine.
Have you been listening to the show?
I just kind of tuned in the last maybe 10 minutes on the drive home. And,
okay.
I don't know the gentleman's name that's speaking, but he kind of, while I was chiming in, started to say what, I believe, which is I think the issue here with illegal immigrants is that they are illegal. So them wanting to come over and work, and I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is that they are here illegally. And we are still allowing them to come into the country. You know, taking jobs is not the issue because, I do agree that not that many people, well, I don't know anybody really that wants to dig a ditch. But if the jobs were available, if they were available, maybe some of us would. But the issue is they're here illegally, and that's what's not right. I understand
right.
They need jobs. So, yeah, the enterprise zone, build a factory, whatever it is, I'm sure we have some need that they can meet. Let them work, make their money, and go back home. They don't have to live here. They don't have to commit crimes here. And I've been there. You know, people talk about how we treat them, but let me tell you, you go over there and try to get a job, it's the same thing. I mean, they treat non-Spanish-speaking people the way some of us treat non-English-speaking people. It's not like when we go over there, they welcome us.
And it's not it's not just like that in Mexico. It's like that all over the country. If you all over the world, you try to go to another country and get a work permit, you might as well you have a better shot of getting a kidney.
Right.
You do. Honestly, you got a better shot of successfully getting a brain transplant because you'll never get a work permit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And when we get mad at, people over here get mad, I mean, it's like, well, that's because they don't know. They don't know that when you go to those other countries, especially, I'm speaking because I've gone to Mexico and saw how things were done. But we got to be everything to everybody. But, you know, people don't understand how we get treated when we go to other countries and try to do things. So, usually are going as tourists, you know, so you don't really experience as long as we're there spending money, but you go over there, it's like you're an American. You know, the defense mechanism comes up, go back home. You know, what are you doing here? Go back home. You know, so that's just my opinion.
Yeah. And realistically, realistically, if we're just going to focus on Mexico or the southern border, and because that's, I think that's the Arizona law is really focusing on, look at what's happening now there. There are drug wars. They are running. Their cartels are running back and forth, killing, kidnapping people from Arizona, California, New Mexico, and killing them, and just doing God knows what. The people, we're not getting doctors and dentists and lawyers and accountants who want to sneak over and work. Who are we really getting? Really, what it boils down to is the Mexican government is passing their trash. They have created a system where they don't have to take care of their people, all right? And they're saying they're going to force them on us. Everybody does it. What do you do? You got some old in your closet, or you got something you just don't want. You get rid of it. You send it to a shelter, put in that big old green box with it. It goes to a homeless shelter, whatever. You pass the trash, and that's what it's about. Really, part of what we really need to do as American people is put the onus back on Mexico. If we're strictly talking about the Mexican government, and put it back on them. Tell them to take care of the people. Tell them they're not going to be welcome here. We spend millions of dollars every year policing a border. Going out there,
that really doesn't work.
That doesn't work. That doesn't, because you're cutting off, because you really wind up cutting off people's property. There are people down in Texas right now that have that ridiculous bush fence going through it, and like it was a good idea. It's cutting them off from stuff that they own. Creating a huge no man's land. We need, as American people, we need to force our government to look at Slim, the President Slim down there in Mexico, and make him take care of his people. Tell him, hey, we're not going to have it. Why do you think California's in debt? Why do you think Arizona's in debt? Why do you think Texas, in the economies of those southern cities like El Paso, Arlington, and San Antonio are suffering. And just look at this: the health care bill that we have, isn't like, oh, we're gonna. You mean you don't have health care based on that? We don't have health care based on that. It's for the people that are here that are undocumented, and they're gonna use it. And it's not like they ain't been getting health care, and that they're going. That's for them. That's for them. That's not for me and you.
I don't know about that. I think I believe the health care bill is actually covering those that can't get health care. Period, and not just the immigrants. The immigrants ain't getting health care inside of emergency rooms all across America. That's not gonna ever happen because you can't render aid. It's a federal offense. However, dealing with, I think, the health care bill is going to help a lot of people that can't afford to have that extra, like people that need to have conditions that need that extra support or to go see specialists. They don't have, a lot of insurance companies don't cover that. I think it's more of a security blanket, and I think it's more of like an insurance umbrella. I do understand what you're saying because, of course, they're going to benefit from it. And you're right, something needs to police that. However, do you really honestly think that this ruling class government or these certain cell families that really run this country give a damn about that? As long as we're continuously at odds with those that come to this country or we're at odds with each other, then they continue to rule and do what they want to do. California is only in debt because, the money, you need to really ask about where is it really going.
Hold that thought one second.
To focus on the plight of the state of California, because you realize that they're paying for bilingual education.
Give me one.
Paying,
last caller, Gavin. One last caller to chime in before we have to wrap this show up. Caller, are you there? Caller from.
I come this way. Oh, this way.
Caller, you calling from Dallas, Texas? Are you there?
Hello?
Are you there?
Hello, this is Andy Brown.
Yeah, what's going on?
Andy Brown, this is Ricky Williams. How you doing?
We're doing good, bro. We're almost about to wrap the show up. Talk to us real quick. What's going on?
Okay, quick question, man. Only thing I want to say is to people like Gavin is the fact that just because you're a nickel above poverty really don't mean you need to discriminate against Mexicans. And I'm a black man, to be honest with you, but it bothers me when you hear, like, so-called black Republicans, because that's how I view Gavin right now, because 40 to 50 years ago, just to be honest, white people were saying the same thing about us, about going back home, about why are they here, and they're messing up our economy. They still say it to this day, we're messing up their neighborhoods. So you need to look at, we haven't come that far from what you're trying to talk about how they need to go back home. When everybody was saying a couple of years ago, we need to go back to Africa, man. Let's just look at the fact that they're here, and we need to find a solution. Because guess what? Where are our grandparents' papers? Because we were taken, so we really much illegal. Let's just be honest about all this.
Very illegal. Thank you.
We were brought here. We were brought here on ships.
The point of the matter, regardless if we were brought here or not, regardless if we were brought here or not.
My grandparents' papers are in the grave. Great-great-grandparents' the stripes on their back make me legal.
And Mexicans have scratches on their backs too, lady.
No,
I'm just letting you know that.
Can I pounce on me? I just want to say a couple things. One, I'm not a Republican.
Right. You act like it, Bill.
No, that's not true. That's not true. Because if you know what, really, this it's a security issue. Because one, the people that are coming over here aren't desirable. A lot of them are not desirable. They just got out of prison, or they got shady backgrounds, and they can't apply for a visa.
You know, we all.
That's every race. We have shady people, and they have every race that's in jail getting out of jail. Don't just put this on Hispanic.
And I said this before at the top of the show, it's not about just, Latinos. It's about everybody. It's about Polish people. It's about the Italians. It's about anybody who wants to come here as an undocumented person.
We have been talking for 20 minutes about Mexican Americans, and if we're going to discuss this objectively, then we need to state that, because honestly, for the last 20 minutes, and I'm objectively speaking, we haven't been talking about that, and I'm so glad that Mr. Ricky came on and stated this, because it does, a couple years ago, they said the same things about African Americans, and it's extremely embarrassing, it's intolerable, and this is not exactly what this country is made of, and if this is what we're representing, thank you, then honestly, can we? Wow.
She has a good point, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, tonight has been really hot. We've just been burning up the hour all night long. And I just want to say to all of my callers, we may have to come back to this and just go. But let me just say in parting, this has been a great show. I want to keep all of my guests available, let you know to tune in next week, as we're just going to keep the fire hot. I want to thank all of my guests for blogging. I want to thank those who are talking tonight. You all make the show what it is. I had a good time tonight. I learned some outstanding stuff, and I just want to thank you for making the show what it is. Keep in tune next week, ladies and gentlemen, as we come back with sexual mind over matter. If you don't mind, should it really matter? We're going to keep it real, y'all. BlogTalkRadio.com/ How Was Your Weekend? Thank you for listening. God bless you. Good night, and I'm gone.